evaporators, with some councils saying pools might have to close because it's become so expensive to heat them. Still with water, we'll be reporting how the imminent hosepipe ban in parts of the country is changing the way that local people garden and what they choose to grow. We'll be poring over some travel brochures, how much does the language they contain match up with the realities of the place they advertise, and we salute...
Mrs. McGinty had been killed by a savage blow to the head. I was convinced that the reason for her death was that she had identified a photograph in a Sunday paper about women who had been closely associated with murder. Was one of these women living now in Brotini, the same village as Mrs. McGinty? But then, at a party at which most of my suspects were present, Mrs. Upward had also identified one of the photographs. Was she in danger of sharing Mrs. McGinty's fate?
John Moffat as Hercule Poirot, Julia McKenzie as Ariadne Oliver, and George Baker as Superintendent Spence in Agatha Christie's Mrs. McGinty's Dead.
Monsieur Poirot.
Oh, pardon, Mrs. Randall. You quite made me jump.
I hope I'm not disturbing you.
Oh, no. The day is fine, and I am enjoying the delights of spring. The gentle sunshine, the song of the birds.
I suppose that when you're investigating something, you always have to have a pretext.
A pretext, madame?
To explain your being here and asking questions.
It is sometimes expedient.
Why are you really here in Brotini, Monsieur Poirot?
But, my dear lady, you know very well. To inquire into the death of Mrs. McGinty.
I know that's what you say, but nobody believes it.
Well, I assure you it is the simple truth.
So you won't tell me?
There is nothing to tell.
I wanted to ask you about anonymous letters.
Yes, Mrs. Randall?
They're really always lies, aren't they?
Well, they are sometimes lies, madame.
But you wouldn't ever believe what was said in one, would you?
Well, that is a very difficult question.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't ever believe anything of that kind. I know why you're here. I know what you're thinking. And it isn't true, I tell you. It isn't true.
And she walked rapidly away. What did it mean? Did it have something to do with the murder? Or was she simply leading me up the garden walk? The sun went in, and the spring day faded. I went back into Long Meadows, preoccupied with a question which Superintendent Spence had not solved and which I had neglected. What had become of the instrument with which Mrs. McGinty had been killed? And then I noticed, on top of the bookcase, a curious object of ornamental brass decorated with colored stones, with a little bird with turquoise eyes. And instantly I knew that this must be the murder weapon. It was shaped like an adze, with a sharp, cutting edge.
What are you doing with the sugar cutter, Mrs. Poirot?
Oh, is that what it is? A sugar cutter?
Sugar cutter, sugar hammer. I don't know what it's actually called. It looks a bit silly with that funny little bird on top, but you could do quite a bit of damage with it. I always tell Johnny that'll be what comes to him if he misbehaves himself.
And did you bring it back with you from India?
Oh, no, I got it at the B&B at Christmas.
The B&B?
Bring and buy sale at the vicarage. You bring something you don't want and you buy something else. Oh. The Weatherby said it came from Baghdad.
It came from the Weatherby's house?
Yes, they've got the most frightful lot of junk. But I must go and see how the pudding is getting on.
I carried the sugar hammer up to my room and packed it up to send to Superintendent Spence. Amid the chaos of Long Meadows, no one would ever miss it. And then I walked over to the Weatherby's house.
Oh, it's you.
May I come in and speak to you?
I suppose so.
You.
We're all over the place today. Our German girl has given notice. Seems she only took the job because there was somebody over here she wanted to marry. She's leaving tomorrow.
It is, alas, not an age of consideration.
My stepfather says it isn't legal. But there's not a thing we can do about it. Do sit down. Even these things.
Thank you.
What was it you wanted?
I wish to ask you about a sugar hammer.
A sugar hammer?
An instrument of brass with a little bird on top of it.
Oh, yes, I know.
I understand it came from this house.
Yes. My mother bought it at the bazaar in Baghdad. It was one of the things we took to the bring-and-buy.
So it was here in this house until Christmas, and then you sent it to the sale at the vicarage?
No, it wasn't the Christmas B&B. It was the one at Harvest Festival.
Oh. And that would have been when, mademoiselle?
The end of September.
You are quite sure of that?
Quite sure, Monsieur Poirot.
Mrs. McGinty had been killed in November. So who was right? Had the sugar hammer been at the Weatherbys at the time of the murder, or at Long Meadows? But what chiefly intrigued me was Deirdre Henderson's total lack of interest. Why had she not asked me why I wanted to know?
You know, Ariadne, I don't feel in the mood to talk about the play today. Too much gin at the party last night, I expect.
Yes, the drinks were flowing pretty freely.
Perhaps we should think about casting. If we could get Dennis Callery, of course it would be marvellous, but he's tied up on some film. But I've had the most wonderful brainwave about Eric. Cecil Leach. He's playing at the Little Rep in Cullinkey tonight. We could drive over there and see him. What do you think?
What a very good idea, yes. I'd love to.
As I walked back down the drive from Hunter's Close, I wondered what mysteries lay hidden in that unhappy house. I remembered Mrs. Weatherby's room, strewn with knick-knacks and mementos. Could that have been where Mrs. McGinty had seen the photograph that had sent her to her death? What I needed was a spy to penetrate those suffocating ivy-clad walls.
Monsieur Poirot, someone called Maud Williams rang while you were out. I wrote the number down on my ration book.
Oh, thank you, madame. You permit that I use your telephone?
Oh, feel free. Breather and scuttle.
May I speak to Maud Williams, please?
Speaking.
This is Hercule Poirot. I believe you rang me.
Oh, yes. It's about the property you were asking about the other day. Can we do anything in the matter for you?
Do you still wish to help James Bentley?
Yes.
Would you resign your present post?
Oh, yes.
And take on a domestic post immediately with people who are not very sympathetic? It would mean living in.
Oh, yes, I think that might be managed.
You can cook?
Very well, as it happens.
Oh, bon Dieu, what a rarity. I will come to Kilchester at once. I will meet you at the same cafe where we met before.
Thank you very much. I'll put that in hand straight away.
Oh, madame, I regret that I shall not be in to lunch. I have to go into Kilchester.
Oh, goodness for that. I've completely forgotten the pudding and it's boiled dry. Oh, I'm sure it's quite all right, really. Just a little scorched. But I thought I'd better open a bottle of the raspberries I put up last summer, just in case. They've got a bit of mould on top, but they say nowadays that doesn't matter. After all, that's what penicillin is, isn't it?
But it's Janet's night off, Robin. Oh, well, of course, I should know you never remember anything when you're working on a play.
Oh, Madre, I'm so terribly sorry. It went right out of my mind.
It doesn't really matter.
Of course it does. I'll ring them up and tell them we'll go tomorrow night.
You'll do nothing of the sort. I don't want to upset Mrs. Oliver. You go off and enjoy yourselves. I thought of someone I'll ask to keep me company.
Who's that?
That's my secret. And now stop fretting about it all, Robin.
And so the Weatherbys will be expecting you tomorrow. Do you understand what it is you have to look out for?
Yes, I've got a pretty good idea.
And does anyone know you're in Baratini?
I've been over there on business once or twice.
And whom did you see?
A Mrs. Carstairs. She was staying at the place where you are.
Long Meadows. And did you see Mrs. Summerhays or her husband?
I saw her, but she's too scatterbrained to remember me. And I saw James Bentley, of course.
By accident?
No, I'd sent him a postcard telling him I'd be coming that day. Not that there was anywhere we could go. We just talked at the bus stop before I went back to Kilchester.
And you spoke to no one else in Brodhenny?
Well, only Robin Upwood. I've heard him talk on the wireless. I spotted him coming out of his cottage and asked him for his autograph. He was ever so nice about it, particularly as I'd only got an odd sheet of notepaper.
Good. Now, I would like you to look at these photographs.
Mm.
All these pictures appeared in the Sandy Comet the weekend before Mrs. McGinty was killed.
And you think they've got something to do with it?
Yes, mademoiselle. Now, here is the article that went with the photographs.
Where are these women now? You think one of them may be living in Brodhenny?
It is possible.
Eva Kane would be quite old by now, in her 60s.
You've heard of the Craig case?
Who hasn't? He was in Madame Tussaud's. I don't suppose that murder will ever be forgotten, do you?
Sorry to keep you waiting, Ariadne. But I thought I really had to have another word with the Madre before we left.
And all was well?
Oh, yes. She'd just put the telephone down, but the wicked old thing wouldn't tell me who she'd been ringing up. Even so, I bet I know.
Yes, I know too.
So, who do you say it was?
Hercule Poirot.
Yes, that's my guess too. She's going to pump him. But she does like to have her little secret. Well, let's be off. I'm sure you're going to enjoy the play enormously.
I'm sure I shall.
But it's important that you tell me exactly what you think of Cecil Leach and whether he's your idea of Eric. I do want you to be happy about him. So, what did you think?
Oh, I loved it. Great fun.
No, I mean, what did you think of Cecil?
But he's nothing like Eric at all. Not even remotely. He's a very good actor, of course.
Well, let's go round and have a word with him.
Oh, do we really have to? I have an absolute horror of bearding actors in their dressing rooms. I never know what to say.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that. You won't be expected to say anything. But I'll tell you what. I'll get Michael to look after you. He's the one playing the doctor. I happen to know he's a great admirer of yours.
Oh, God.
We've been trying to get Robin to come over and see the show for absolutely ages, but of course he's completely under that terrible woman's thumb, isn't he? Dancing attendance on her all the time.
Well, I suppose she really...
I've known Robin for years, and he's far too brilliant to be sacrificed on the matriarchal altar. I mean, just look at what she did to poor Alex Roscoff.
Oh, I don't think she
ruled over him for nearly a year. Couldn't do enough for him. And then she discovered he wasn't a Russian emigre at all.
Oh, really?
Of course, Alex had been telling some pretty tall stories. It was rather naughty of him. But then, when she discovered he was only the son of a little tailor in the East End, she dropped him and turfed him out.
How very unfortunate.
Mind you, I think the poor boy was quite relieved to get away. He said she could be quite frightening sometimes.
What stories are you telling Ariadne, Mike?
Oh, we're just talking about your wonderful Madre. It's such a shame she couldn't come over tonight.
It's time we were getting back to her, I think. If you don't mind me dragging you away, Ariadne.
Not at all.
It's been a joy to meet you, Mrs. Oliver. Quite marvellous. And thank you for all those simply delicious murders.
I do hope the evening hasn't tired you too much, Ariadne.
No, not at all. The truth is, I'm not very good with people.
But surely you must be interested in them. What about all the characters in your book?
That's different. When it comes to the real thing, I much prefer trees. I think they're nicer than people. More restful.
Hmm. I do hope the Madre hasn't been sitting up for us. It's quite late.
Mm.
You go in while I put the car away. The front door won't be locked.
She's turned all the lights out. Not very welcoming. Oh, where on earth is the switch? Ah. Strange smell and very expensive scent. Mrs. Upward? She must have fallen asleep. Robin! Robin!
What is it? Is something the matter?
No, don't go in there, Robin. Your mother's dead. I think someone's killed her.
Senseless brutality. Strangled with one of her own silk scarves. Quick and efficient. Especially when the victim is quite unsuspicious.
Which suggests it was someone she knew.
They were having coffee together. Prince had been wiped off the guest's cup, but there were distinct traces of lipstick.
Yes, a woman was indicated.
It obviously ties up with the McGinty murder. She recognizes the photograph of Lily Gamble, and she takes advantage of her son and Mrs. Oliver being away at the theatre to ring up the person concerned and ask her to come and see her.
I fear she did not realize that what she was doing might be dangerous. So many people think of murder as a game. It is not a game. I told her so, but she would not listen.
It all ties in, of course. Robin Upward said that when he went to say goodbye to his mother, she had just finished telephoning somebody. But she wouldn't tell him who it was.
Mm.
Come in.
I hope I'm not intruding. Oh. But your sergeant said I should see you straight away.
Is it something to do with last night, with Mrs. Upward?
Yes. Is it true she was murdered?
It's true, Miss Henderson. What is it you wanted to say?
I was here.
Here?
Yes.
At what time?
I don't know exactly. Between 9:30. She telephoned me, you see.
You spoke to her?
No, the German girl took the message. She said she would be all alone because her son and Mrs. Oliver had gone out, and would I come and have coffee with her?
And you saw her?
No, I didn't. I knocked, but there was no answer. It was quite dark, and there was no light in the sitting room. I called out, but no one replied. I thought our maid must have made a mistake.
So what did you do?
I just went away.
Back home?
I went for a bit of a walk first. It was quite fine.
Well, thank you, Miss Henderson. You were quite right to come and see us.
Thank you, mademoiselle.
Thank you.
No lipstick. Or is that only this morning?
No. She never uses it.
No scent either.
Mm.
Mrs. Oliver said there was a distinct smell of scent, and not the kind Mrs. Upward used.
I do not think Miss Henderson would use scent.
Looks like the hockey captain of an old-fashioned girls' school.
She's the right age for Lily Gamble.
But she's got a perfectly good mother. Lily Gamble's mother was killed in a drunken brawl.
Have you established the time of Mrs. Upward's death?
All the police surgeon will say is that she was probably dead by 9:30.
So she may have been dead when Deirdre Henderson arrived.
Probably. What we need to find out is where Mrs. Rendell and Mrs. Carpenter were at the time.
Either of them could afford expensive scent.
Oh, by the way, we're pretty sure the sugar hammer was the weapon used in Mrs. McGinty's murder.
Ah.
There are traces of human blood on it. So, did Mrs. Summerhayes buy it at Christmas or at Harvest Festival?
I do not know whether it matters so very much.
How's that?
At Long Meadows, the doors and windows are always open. Anyone could come in and take something away and put it back later, and neither Major Summerhayes nor his wife would ever notice. They neither of them observed the absence of the sugar hammer.
Well, there's one good thing. They won't hang James Bentley until all this is cleared up. And that gives us what we've been short of. Time.
Yes. And now we know a little more. I think I would like to see James Bentley for myself.
None of it will do any good. What's the use?
Your friends are working very hard on your behalf.
My friends? I have no friends.
You have at least two friends.
And who might they be?
First, there is Superintendent Spence.
He's no friend to me. He's the one who put me in here. Who's the other one supposed to be?
Maud Williams.
Who's she?
She worked in the offices of Breather and Scuttle.
Oh, that Maud Williams. What's it got to do with her?
She is convinced you are innocent.
I don't see what she can know about it.
She knows you. You worked together at the office, did you not? You had meals together.
Yes, once or twice.
Oh, ma foi, is it a crime that I seek to drag from you? To keep the company of a pretty girl? Is it not natural?
Well, you see, I've never had much to do with girls. She wasn't quite what you would call a lady. I couldn't help feeling that Mother would have thought common.
But it is what you think that matters. You found her sympathetic?
She was always very kind.
She met you once in Broadhinney, I understand.
Yes. She said she was going over on business. She sent me a postcard.
But you did meet her?
Yes. I didn't want to be rude.
And you
took her to the pictures or a meal?
Nothing of that kind. We just chatted while she was waiting for her bus.
Well, let us talk about something else. Mrs. McGinty took the Sandy Comet. Did you ever read it?
She used to offer it to me sometimes, but I never looked at it. Mother didn't care for that kind of paper.
Did Mrs. McGinty ever speak to you about anything she read in it?
Oh, yes, she did. On the Sunday before she died, she was full of it.
Ah, and what did she say? Now, be careful. This is very important.
It was all about some old murder case. Craig, I think it was. Anyway, she said someone connected with the case was living in Broadhenny.
Did she say who it was?
I think it was that woman whose son writes plays.
Did she mention her by name?
I don't know. It's so long ago.
Now think. What did Mrs. McGinty say?
Well, something like, so pleased with herself and so proud. Not so much to be proud of, if all's known.
And what makes you so sure it was Mrs. Upward of whom she was speaking?
I really don't know. I just formed that impression.
Ah, mon Dieu. It is preposterous to reflect that if you are hanged, it will be because you do not pay proper attention to what is said to you. And did Mrs. McGinty ever speak to you of Mrs. Carpenter? Mrs. Selkirk, as she was then, or Mrs. Randall?
She was always very down on Mrs. Selkirk. I don't know why. Jumped up is what she used to call her.
And the Randalls?
He's the doctor, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember her saying anything particular about them.
What about the Weatherbys?
She said she had no patience with her fusses and fancies. It was an unhappy house, she said.
And did she never say anything particular about Miss Henderson?
Not that I remember. Her dog got caught in a trap. I helped her get it out.
You talked together?
Yes. She said her mother suffered a lot. She was very fond of her mother.
And did you talk about yours?
Yes, I did. I don't think she was very happy, Miss Henderson.
Not a very pretty girl, I understand.
I thought she was rather good-looking. I liked her.
Not so much to be proud of, if all's known. Did he say who Mrs. McGinty was referring to?
Bentley thought it might have been Mrs. Upward, but he was very uncertain about it. He was very uncertain about everything.
But it couldn't have been Mrs. Upward, because Mrs. Upward's dead. Dead for the same reason as Mrs. McGinty. Because she recognised a photograph.
I tried to warn her.
A photo of Lily Gamble. And there are only two possibilities. Mrs. Rendell and Mrs. Carpenter. I don't count the Henderson girl. She's got a background.
And the others have not?
You know how things are nowadays. The war stirred up everyone and everything. And it transformed little villages like Broadhenny. The only people we really know anything about are the Summerhayes family, who've been there for three centuries. All the rest have no real background. Mrs. Rendell comes from somewhere outside Dublin. Eve Selkirk, before she met Carpenter, was a pretty war widow. And anyone can be a war widow.
Tell me, why do people keep photographs?
Goodness knows. Why do people keep all sorts of things? Because they remind them of things, I suppose.
Exactly. A woman might keep a photograph of herself because it reminds her of what a pretty girl she once was.
And people keep photos out of sentiment. A picture of your married daughter when she was a child, naked on the hearthrug.
But who would have wanted to keep that picture of Lily Gamble, with her ugly teeth and thick spectacles?
Well, somebody must have done, because Mrs. Upward had seen it.
Had she?
Dash it all. It was you who told me. She said so herself.
Yes, 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 she said so. But the late Mrs. Upward was in some ways a very secretive woman. She looked at all the photographs, and it was evident she recognized one of them. But for her own reasons, she decided to keep that to herself. And being very quick-witted, she deliberately pointed to the wrong picture.
Are you really serious?
I have never been more so. Her curiosity was aroused, and she wanted to have a private talk with the person she associated with that photograph. And when her son and Mrs. Oliver went off to the theater, she seized that opportunity.
And she sent for Deirdre Henderson. That puts her right back in the picture. You do like to make things difficult for yourself, don't you, Monsieur Poirot?
I had arranged to meet Maud Williams at the Three Ducks to report on her first day with the Weatherbys. We found a quiet corner to ourselves, although it was most unlikely that the Weatherbys would ever have ventured in there.
All I can say is that I hope I don't have to stay there for too long. The Weatherbys really are a very nasty couple, and I feel terribly sorry for poor Deirdre.
When did you arrive there?
Oh, I haven't wasted any time. I got there last night.
Last night?
Yes. Mrs. Weatherby had gone to bed, and Mr. Frostyface had locked himself away in his study. He seems to spend all his time there.
And Miss Henderson?
She went out.
Did she say where she was going?
To keep Mrs. Upwood company, she said, but she couldn't find anyone about. I gather Mrs. Upwood's been murdered.
Yes, mademoiselle. She has been murdered.
Mrs. Weatherby got very hysterical about it. It must have been a nasty tramp, she said, and gave me a long lecture on keeping all the doors and windows locked. All Mr. Weatherby wanted to know was who got the money. But I'll tell you one thing.
What is that?
Mrs. Weatherby isn't as fragile as she makes out. She was down at the post office first thing this morning. She can get about when she wants to. And when she came back, she accused me of going through her things.
And had you been doing so?
Of course. That's what you wanted me to do, isn't it? And she told me I was wearing too much makeup. If she's going to go on like this all the time, I shall be strongly tempted to lace her eggnog with arsenic.
Superintendent Spence's here, Monsieur Poirot. He said he'd like a quick word with you.
Oh, then if you would be so kind as to show him in, Mrs. Summerhayes.
Of course. Would you care to go in, Superintendent?
Thank you. I thought I'd better come round right away.
What has happened?
We've got new evidence. The girl who works in the post office, Edna, Mrs. Sweetman, brought her in and made her tell us what she'd seen.
And what did she see?
On the night of Mrs. Upwood's murder, she was waiting around for a boyfriend outside Laburnum's, and she saw a woman go in there.
What time was this?
Sometime after 8:30 and before 9:00. But it wasn't Deirdre Henderson. It was a woman in her 30s with fair hair. So we can forget your idea about Mrs. Upwood deliberately leading us up the garden path by pointing to the wrong photo. We're right back where we were. Both Eve Carpenter and Sheila Rendell have fair hair. It's definitely between the two of them. The only question is, which one of them was it?
In part 4 of Agatha Christie's Mrs. McGinty's Dead, Hercule Poirot was played by John Moffat. Ariadne Oliver, Julia McKenzie, Superintendent Spence, George Baker. James Bentley, Tom George. Robin Upwood, Nick Waring. Mrs. Upwood, Jill Balkan. Mrs. Rendell, Susanna Corbett. Deirdre Henderson, Teresa Gallagher. Maud Williams, Beth Chalmers. Maureen Summerhayes, Molly Gaisford. Michael, Kim Wall. Mrs. McGinty's Dead is dramatized for radio by Michael Bakewell and directed by Enid Williams.